It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Larry Edson. Welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, the only chapel on earth with cold beer, hot ribs, a neon cocktail sign outside. If you have a hankering to explore the spiritual side of things without the usual trappings and palaver, this might be a place for you. Or, if you just want to get out of the heat, have a cold one, and stare at the Lariettes, that's okay too. We meet here about twice a month, first and third Sundays. Last week was Easter, and we summed up JC's purpose on earth in 10 words chopped into two simple phrases. Phrase 1, with words 1 to 4, were, don't be an asshole. Phrase 2, with words 5 through 10, were, when it's over, it ain't over. Of course, there was more to the episode than that, but have a listen if you missed it. And here we are at a now what kind of place, right? Not too different from right after Christmas or your birthday or the end of a vacation or the honeymoon. Now what? Easter is the biggest day of the Christian calendar. And yeah, I spent part of it at my local corporate God provider, because they're pretty good at some things, and blowing out these big holidays is one of them. They had a forest of flowers and music and angelic kids singing, all good stuff. And last week, they even had a priest who was something of a biblical scholar. I learned a few things. That's all good. But later in the day, I thought back on all those other Easters, and most big religions function on a calendar, don't they? Lent, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost, Advent, Christmas, then do it all again. The Jewish religion is the same way, huh? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Passover, Hanukkah. It's a cycle, kind of a merry-go-round, which, when you think about it, is a little bit odd. Why do we do that? How many times can you read the same book or watch the same movie? Why do we demand variety in our secular lives, but are just fine with repetition in our spiritual world? I don't have an answer. I'm asking you. Most people would answer probably because we've always done it that way, and there's nothing wrong with that. But repetition or convention in other realms is usually based on logic and utility, right? I mean, vehicles tend to work best with four wheels. Drinking glasses should be bottom-heavy, boats longer than wide, stuff like that. But why do we do the same thing again and again at church? Maybe because there are no new additions to the story. We can go revisit places in the Bible and maybe uncover some hidden meaning or fresh spin. But for the most part, it's the same thing, year in and year out. Maybe, just for variety's sake, we should rewrite Bible stories and change up the plots or endings and see how they would play out. As a kid, I was kind of on the Jewish side of the Jesus thing. I mean, I knew he was a good guy, but deep down in a place I dared not articulate to brutal nuns, I was a smidge disappointed in the outcome of Good Friday. On many a Good Friday, I sat in church and fashioned different endings to the story. In my mental rewrites, after a few hours of watching Jesus suffer on the cross, he gets a second wind like in some action movie. Maybe his old man just can't stand to see him suffer down there, and he sends the Holy Ghost, who does a flyby of energy and healing, and right around the time that punk thief on one side of him mouths off with his snotball challenge of, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself, huh?" At that moment, instead of shaking his head at the ignorance of that thief, JC curls his left hand into a fist as his chest inflates with a deep breath, and suddenly, like Conan or King Kong, he muscles his hand off that cross. And that 9-inch nail just pops out and falls. Then he frees his other arm, jackknifes at the waist and pulls his footnail out like it's a thumbtack. By now, the centurions are scattering like roaches, and his mom and his friends are bug-eyed. Like a two-legged puma, JC leaps from the cross and lands solidly on his feet. He turns to the bad thief and goes, "What did you just say, punk?" Before the guy can answer, JC levitates up like Neo in the Matrix and drives his fist deep into bad thief's face. Then he releases good thief from his cross and springs to the top of it and shouts with a voice louder than thunder, "You people picked the wrong guy to persecute!" And suddenly, a death ray shoots out of his eyes, and he starts vaporizing people where they stand. Instant pandemonium. The crowd screams as they run for their lives. Hey, don't you love those crowd scenes like in Godzilla? Some woman always leaves her toddler behind and then has to run back against the flow of people to find her kid before Godzilla steps on him. Now we're talking classic, cinematic, messiah behavior. But that's not what we got, is it? Of course, the story had to go exactly as it did. Because if phrase number two is true, then, well, action heroes rarely die and they don't come back. JC could not interfere with his fate in any way. He had to hold up a mirror to the world and let them see just how rotten it was to kill a guy who had done nothing wrong and everything right, like making blind men see and cripples walk and raising people from the dead and teaching people not to be assholes. They killed him not for what he did, but for what he said. And what he said was truth. God has a lot of different names, but his real name is Truth. Maybe JC should have been called Son of Truth or Truth Jr. Ever since he was crucified, people have been eager for his return. Well, some people. And we also speculate how long it would be until they killed him a second time. And the answer is, not very. People have not changed a bit in 2,000 years, and they never will. And evil weasels are still killing people, not for what they do, but what they say. They no longer even need witnesses, do they? Social media brigades and lynch mobs are judge, jury, and executioner. And now, as in the beginning, there is a war on Christianity, a very well-organized war where a bunch of synchronized suicide bombers can take out over 300 people in churches in Sri Lanka. And after the carnage, two ex-presidents, well, yeah, one of them was a president's wife, but who are we kidding? The two of them were reading from the same teleprompter and could not bring themselves to even use the word Christian, instead calling them Easter worshipers. What a nonsensical phrase. Nobody worships Easter any more than they worship Passover or Ramadan or Diwali. All sorts of gutless politicos around the world vehemently condemn the attacks. Which is also a gutless and meaningless statement. Why don't they condemn the attackers? It's as fake and meaningless as the war on terror. But it's so much easier and safer to declare war on a word than on a group of people, making that word a reality, isn't it? These same gutless pukes equate the New Zealand massacre with the Sri Lankan one. Two very different atrocities. One, the work of a lone psychotic. The other, carried out by a sizable network of religious murderers. I'm hoping JC does return, and soon, and behaves more like the guy in my childhood musings. I hope he is amped up, armor-plated, locked and loaded, and ready to mete out some judgment. part of the reason Christians are being slaughtered and their churches desecrated is their reputation for pacifism, which could be blamed on the corporate God providers. They always heavy up on the turn-the-other-cheek stuff and downplay or even outright avoid JC's two chronicled episodes of raging hyperviolence. Maybe we need to focus a little more on that, Jesus, huh? Let Christians know it's okay to not only defend yourselves, but to actively seek out those who would destroy you and kill them first. What's wrong with that? JC's violence was not self-defense. Remember, he started it. And it wasn't some kind of loss of control or some fly-off-the-handle event. No, he very calmly braided a whip, figured out a battle plan, went into that temple on two different occasions, and kicked ass. As I said in my previous episode, JC was the first and ultimate warrior monk. People need to understand that, be reminded of that. Maybe that massively muscled Jesus depicted on the thumbnail for this episode should be more widely circulated, eh? Jesus 2.0. Maybe the Vatican should break open the treasury and form a unit of warrior monks, assassins, licensed to kill. A God squad whose mission is to find terrorists and pre-suicide them. Maybe slit their throats in their beds, leave a pointed crucifix stuck in their aorta with a note saying, "Love your neighbor." I'd give the church money to fund that enterprise. Hey, thanks for hanging with me today. If you want to help support this ministry, go to the show page at thatlarryshow.com and click the Patreon button. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com and come on back and hang with us this Tuesday or thereabouts for the regular show. Until that time, stay strong.